The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, well, good evening, brothers and sisters. And welcome back once again for... Wait a minute. That wasn't very good. We can do better than that. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Oh, that's much better. I knew you could do better. Welcome back now, everybody. And I've got one little thought now. A little thought now to help you get through the week, and it's this. Jesus Christ is the answer to every difficulty. And he is the path through every hardship. That might sound trite to some of you. That might sound cliched. But it's deeply true. It's something we need to internalize very deeply. And it bears repeating. Jesus Christ is the answer to every hardship. And he is the path through every difficulty. You know, people come to see the priest in his office. They always bring their hardships. They always bring their difficulties right in the door with them. Nobody ever shows up and says everything's going great. I'd love that to happen. "Father, I'm here to tell you everything's going just great." Never happens. They always come asking for help. And you want to know what? The priest can't help them. Any decent priest knows that the only one who can help is Jesus Christ. And his job is to point your way to him. Such that, you know, if any couple comes in and they're struggling with anything from infidelity, just getting on each other's nerves, what do you tell them? You tell them that the answer is Jesus Christ. Or maybe it's a millionaire, owns his own business. And everybody's envious of him and he seems to have everything all together, except inside he's empty and he can't figure out why. And the answer is Jesus Christ. Or maybe it's someone who's struggling with resentment or unforgiveness or guilt or shame. Or maybe they're just trying to pilot their way through a world that has absolutely lost its mind. The answer is Jesus Christ. Because you know this, we're surrounded by people who by every external appearance are very successful, have it all together, but deep down inside they're living a totally different life and they almost never share it with people. Henry David Thoreau, he once said, "The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. And they'll never tell you that deep down inside their lives are dead and empty and meaningless." Because that's what life without Christ is like. It's dead, empty, meaningless. There's a something that your heart's been yearning for as long as you can possibly remember. You can't articulate it. You can't define it. It's the dream behind every dream. It's the hope behind every hope. You've reached for it again and again and again with worldly achievements, with relationships, both good and bad, with different kinds of pleasures that have tried to dull your pain like a narcotic, but it never goes away. It's Christ that you're yearning for. But you want to know what? You know, the more secular our world gets, the harder it is for people to realize that. Christ has put this yearning in your heart. It's like a homing device. It's getting harder and harder for people to hear his voice. Do you know what the average size of a congregation of a church is in this country? Both Protestant and Catholic. The average number of parishioners in a church in this country? 89 people. More than 82% of the churches in this country have a congregation total membership of less than 500 people. But that's not our problem. Right? We got the opposite problem. Do you know how many people are in St. Teresa? About 17,000 people. And this, following a bishop's report that came out a couple of years back that said that one priest can effectively minister to no more than 200 people. Yeah, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. But what does that mean? Does that mean that everybody's just destined to grasp in the darkness without help? Does that mean that there's nothing that can be done? Who's going to help all these people? You know what the answer is? The answer is you are. You are. And today's feast is what that's all about. Because I certainly hope you care about the eternal salvation of your neighbor. Listen, if you don't care about the eternal salvation of your neighbor, I'm concerned about your eternal salvation. This church is not a club. Faith is not a hobby. I've said this before. I think it's one of the best ways to phrase it. Your job is to get to heaven and to bring as many people along with you as you possibly can. Today's feast, the feast we celebrate today, the Feast of the Ascension, that's a feast that makes that all possible. Allow me to explain why. Allow me to explain why. See, most people think that the Ascension is a time in which Jesus went away from us, right? He went up to heaven. But Jesus going away from us is precisely what the Ascension is not. I mean, this isn't like some wistful goodbye or even a funeral where we're going to say goodbye to Jesus until he comes again and he's going to hang out past Alpha Centauri somewhere waiting to come back again. No. No. The Feast of the Ascension, it means that Jesus is closer than ever before. Here's why. Because when Jesus walked this earth in the flesh, he could only be in one place at one time. If he was here with you, that meant he wasn't with someone else. And if he wasn't with you, he wasn't with you at all. And when he spoke, if you weren't within earshot of him, he wasn't talking to you. Now that he's ascended into heaven, he sends the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of the Father and the Son. He can literally be with every single person in this entire world who will welcome him and has come to anyone who will take him in a deep and intimate way. And he can speak to the depths of your heart, to anyone who will listen. This explains some of the most mysterious things he said to his apostles before he ascended into heaven. He said, if you love me, you'd rejoice that I'm going away. Believe me, it's better for you that I go. And he said, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. He doesn't just say that to his apostles. He says that to us as well. You want to know why? Because after the ascension, the apostles made it their mission to explain to all the nations where Jesus Christ is found now, because they understood. You know, you've heard these accounts of Jesus risen from the dead. And he's mysterious after Easter. You know, the way Jesus was after Easter wasn't exactly the same as he was before he was crucified and killed. It wasn't like he took a nap and he woke up and he was the exact same guy. People had a hard time recognizing him. There was something different about him, something mysterious. It took him a while to realize who he was, but those apostles knew it was the same Lord. Okay, those same apostles watched Jesus ascend into heaven, and you want to know what they spent the rest of their lives proclaiming? That this Jesus who's mysteriously passed away from us hasn't left us. That his presence has passed now mysteriously into the sacraments. Don't think you've lost anything because you didn't live in the time of Jesus or hear his voice or know what his eye color was or know how he liked his fish cooked. Fact is, nothing of Jesus' own presence, none of that privilege has been denied you. He has passed mysteriously into this. The apostles knew the same Christ in the sacraments was the same Christ who walked this earth. And they wanted us to know it too, so you could know where Jesus Christ is found right now. The word sacrament, I love etymology. You know what the word sacrament means? It comes from the Latin word sacramentum, and it means pledge or oath. Who makes the oath? Who makes the pledge? God does. Who's the pledge made to? You. What's the pledge that he makes to you? He promises that when this mysterious ceremony is celebrated, he's actually there. It's not a pious memory. It's not wishful thinking. You know, if somebody's at the doorstep of death and the priest shows up and gives them anointing of the sick, it's Christ himself who strengthens that person at that moment. Or you go to confession and you pour out your soul and you ask for forgiveness and you want to start over and you hear the priest say, I absolve you. It's Christ himself who's acting at that moment in the depths of your heart in his grace. And I hope it goes without saying that we said it many times before. Right here at this altar, at that Eucharist, what appears to be a little white host is actually Christ himself. His presence is passed mysteriously into the sacrament such that he never left you. His going away, that's the last thing the ascension is. Now, his presence is your mission to proclaim. His presence is your mission to proclaim. If I could define the mission of this parish, somebody asks you, what's St. Teresa Parish? What's it all about? This is where I'd begin. This might not be so perfect that I could etch it in stone, but I think this is what we're all about. Two things. Number one, to offer to people a life-transforming encounter with Jesus Christ, and also to help make them credible and authentic witnesses to the actual difference that makes in their life. Your job is to come here and to fill up as deeply as you possibly can with the life that Christ wants to offer you, such that you can go out those doors and make a difference. Remember back in the seminary, one of the professors asked, what's the most important part of the church? One of the seminarians answers, the doors. Why the door? Because that's where it all starts. You walk out those doors, you're in mission territory. But you want to know what? You can't give what you don't have. Your job is to let him transform you right here. And I believe that you'll discover that it just spills out of you. That it just spills out of you. Spiritual life is something in which you're always a beginner. Because the life that our Lord calls us to is infinite. You'll never hear a saint say they're spiritually advanced. They know how big this playing field is. And I hope you hear that our Lord calls to you even on this day. A lot of people think that the purpose of Jesus Christ was to come here and preach and work miracles and to give us a couple of useful life lessons. They sell him very, very short. When we say that Jesus is a Savior, when we say that he comes to offer us salvation, you know what that means? It doesn't just mean he's going to let you into heaven by opening up the key. It doesn't just mean he's going to erase your sins like an eraser on a blackboard. He's called you to a higher life. He's called you to share his own life. He's called you to be so intimately close with your Father, your Creator, the longing of your own heart, not just now in time, but for all eternity, that I can't even put it into words. That's the difference that the ascension makes. Such that what our Lord said to his apostles, he'll say to us as well, may my joy be in you. May your joy be complete, both now and forever. Amen.